Well, listen, well, joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Messiah has arrived. I hope everybody had a really good Christmas. Did you? You guys have a good Christmas? It was a nice Christmas Eve. I know a lot of you were here for that. And had a good Christmas. It was really nice. The Messiah has arrived. He's born. And God became flesh. And it's amazing when you think about it. He dwelled among us. He lived among us, fully human. God did, fully human. From a baby to an adult. For over 30 years, he lived here with us, you know, about 2,000 years ago. And in large part, the hymnist, Isaac Watts, got it right when he wrote Joy to the World. He wrote that in 1719. Over 300 years ago, that hymn was written, and it's still today the most published Christmas carol in our country. Joy to the world. Yeah, bringing joy to the world and joy to each of us individually was important to Jesus. I mean, he wanted his joy to be in us so that our joy would be complete. That's exactly what he said in John chapter 15, he wanted his joy to be in us so that our joy would be complete. Joy was important to Jesus, our joy. And the hymn writer, Isaac Watts, made a great and very important observation in that joyful hymn of his. Jesus brings joy to the world through his very nature. It's not just his omnipotent power with which he rules the world. No, he rules the world with truth and grace. A great line, right? Truth and grace. Yeah, the nature of Jesus Christ is truth and grace. That's the nature of God Almighty, truth and grace. Not just omnipotent, overwhelming power, which is there also. And so the message of that great hymn, you know, and the message of the Bible, really, is that when you discover Jesus, whether back then as a baby or during his ministry here on earth, or today when you're reading the Bible or through the Holy Spirit or coming to church, when you discover Jesus, you'll find joy. You can find true joy. And it started from the moment Jesus was born. Even as an infant, he was bringing joy to the world. Should that surprise us? The babies bring us joy? Yeah, I think so. Sure they do. And Jesus certainly did. The baby Jesus brought joy. So let's look at a couple of stories from our gospel reading today. We heard from Barry here, Spiro. Now consider the timeline. Think of the timeline here. On the 40th day following his birth, Mary and Joseph would have taken their baby to the temple in Jerusalem, the main temple in Jerusalem, to offer a modest sacrifice. They didn't have much to offer. But that's what was happening in the gospel reading today. They were in the temple to offer a sacrifice on the 40th day. So Jesus, as of that reading, is 40 days old. Okay, and while in the temple, again in Jerusalem, they met an old man named Simeon. Yes. Now, it's interesting, long prior to this story, years prior to this story, Simeon had been informed by the Holy Spirit, specifically by the Holy Spirit, not some angel or something, but specifically by the Holy Spirit, he was informed that he would not die until he had physically seen the Messiah. And so for a long time, this became his life. Yeah, you know, just sort of hanging around the temple, waiting. Now, he remained faithful, and he was definitely a spirit-led guy. That's true. But I doubt that his life was overly joyful. I don't know, you know? Didn't seem like it might have been. I don't know. Pretty hard to imagine that his life was overly joyful. Hard to say. But then, all of a sudden, 40 days after that first Christmas, comes the day he had been waiting for all those years. And what happened then to old Simeon? Verse 28, it says, he took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. Can you picture that? Was he joyful then? Can you hear me now? Was he joyful then? Right? Was he joyful now? Yeah, absolutely. Better believe it. He was so joyful that he said what? Remember? He said, I can die now, right? Now I can die in peace. I'm joyful now. Simeon had found Jesus, finally, and he found true joy. And that was the story of Simeon. Okay, but someone else was in the temple that day too. A woman named
Anna.
Anna, that's right. And here again, the gospel writer, Luke, you know, he wants us to see this person, Anna, there in the temple. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to be able to experience this. And so even though it's just one short paragraph, Luke paints a picture for us of this person, Anna, so that we can see her in our minds. Yeah, she's there in the temple. And what does he tell us about her? Well, we know, of course, that she's a woman, and that's important. And it says that she's a prophet. And so for her, as a woman, saying she's a prophet probably implies that she mainly spent her time secluded in prayer and meditation. Probably very antisocial. But it also says, think of that, she was antisocial, but it also says that she was descended from the tribe of Asher. It even gives the name of her father. And Asher was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The point of all that is that she was a known person. They knew her. She wasn't some unknown person in the community. Also, the short story says that she was 84 years old, essentially, right? It says she was very old, then it says she was 84 years old. It also says that she had previously been married, but only for 7 years. And then her husband had passed away. Now, assuming, safe assumption, that she had been married early in her life, which was typical, that means that she was likely had been a widow for probably at least 60 years. She was a widow a long time. Okay, so now think of this. Verse 37 says this. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Now, I could be wrong, and who am I to judge? That kind of sounds sad to me. I don't know. See, it sounds lonely. It sounds a little sad. It's like a little, sort of a sad story, a little bit. I'm sure she was filled with faith, and that's good, you know, but it sounds a little sad to me. But then what happens? In verse 38, it says this. At that very moment, she met a baby named Jesus. And immediately, something changed. Well, what changed? What changed? The encounter with baby Jesus changed Anna's heart, right? Didn't change her IQ. It changed her heart. It filled her heart with what? With joy. Yeah, she found joy. She found Jesus, and she found joy. And that's the story of Anna. And that's the purpose of the story. These are two very short stories about the joy of the baby Jesus changing people's lives and their hearts. And Luke had them in there for a very good reason. He wanted us to see it happen. And you can see it happen, can't you? Yeah. Simeon and Anna actually had the opportunity to behold Jesus in the flesh. I mean, they waited a long time for it, but they saw baby Jesus in person. We don't get that chance, really. No, that's true. But we have the Gospels. We have the Gospels. So we get to see him through their eyes. And we have the Holy Spirit. And we have church and all that. But we can see through their eyes. We can see it that way. And we're supposed to. We're supposed to behold and perceive. And that's a big part of today's lesson. The importance of seeing it. Beholding it. Perceiving it. These things the Bible tells us we must do. It's on us. In our first reading today, from Ephesians chapter 5, our own St. Paul is telling us to wake up. Rise and shine, my mom used to say. Rise and shine. Rise up from the dead, he says. Rise up from the dead. Live as children of the light. The whole passage there from Paul, it reads like a beautiful New Year's resolution. It's telling you to do good, to be good, and to give thanks to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great little passage and a pretty darn good New Year's resolution if you want to go back and reread it. Yes, Jesus brings the joy to the world, but Paul sort of puts the onus back on us to wake up, rise up, see, behold, and perceive. Because that's how, that's where and when the change comes, like it came to Simeon and Anna. Okay, well, Troy sang one of my favorite hymns today, Be Thou My Vision. That's an Irish hymn written over 1,500 years ago. Certainly the oldest hymn in our hymnal. It's believed to have been written by the Irish poet Dallan Forgaill. Another good name for you, Dallan. And Dallan Forgaill was blind. He was blind, yep. So he's singing, he's writing, be thou my vision. Be thou my vision. And that song, it calls on us to see through a different way, see through the eyes of our hearts, to see through the Bible, to see through the eyes of Simeon and Anna, and our own St. Paul, and through all the saints, to see through their eyes, to see through the eyes of God, and see through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision, O ruler of all. A great challenge for us, I think, in the year ahead. Another great resolution. Try to see through the eyes of the Bible. See through the eyes of the characters there in the Bible and see through the eyes of Jesus. thou my vision, O ruler of all. Well, let's close this last message of the year with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your constant presence as we close this year and approach a new one. Thank you for carrying us through challenges and blessing us with your grace. As we look ahead to a new chapter, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon our church family. Fill us with your joy. Renew our passion for your word. And help us to be a beacon of your light in our world. Grant us unity, courage, and wisdom to serve you faithfully and to bring you glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.